right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. We are live at the Commerce Casino, folks, right off the 5 freeway, south of the 710, north of the 605. And we have about 500 people playing here in this tournament. And somebody is going to be the big winner by about 2:30 this morning. And we'd like to thank everybody for showing up. It's always a great event. And Teresa Strasser's here to tell everybody just how attractive you are. Go ahead.
Tim, you've put me in a very awkward position. You know I have low self-esteem, and now you've made me feel
like
very,
an a-hole.
Very much like an a-hole. Thank you for that. Tim, I couldn't help noticing when I walked up the stairs here to this poker area, a giant poster, and it said, "Are you a problem gambler?" Question mark. And then it gave a phone number, you know, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right. I think that's for
legal purposes. Are they required to do that in every casino?
No good gambler's ever called that. All right. But I do notice you're wearing a short skirt.
Yeah.
And but you are married.
Here's the thing, Tim. When you don't have boobs, you got to show the legs. That's just how it is.
I
you know what
see.
I mean?
Okay.
If I had boobs, then I'd show those.
See. So once you get boobs, you get overalls?
Well, no. What?
Overalls?
No, that hides boobs.
Well, no, for the legs.
Yes.
But
no.
You can wear ski pants around?
Here's my theory on fashion, because I know you're interested. You feature one asset. If you feature too many, you can look skanky. But because I'm covered up on top, I think I'm getting away with the mini.
Okay, no, very good.
I think
you're wearing
so.
Underpants?
Yes.
Okay. What color? You know?
Yeah, they're white.
White, okay. All right, folks, if you've been listening to this show for quite some time, you know the old opening we used to do. And it was a rap song. It was called, I believe, originally it was the Conway and Whitman Show. It was reworked to exclude Whitman for some reason. I don't know why you guys can't stand Whitman, but you did that for some reason. And the guy who wrote the song is here to perform it live. Ladies and gentlemen, the best rap singer in
stop it.
Of the Commerce Casino tonight is Adam Makedosian.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
All right, Steve, let's take it away. Here we go. It's the opening theme song.
Yeah. This is it, right?
Let's go.
All right, y'all ready for this?
Yes.
Riding around town, top down, black Benzo. Of course, I'm blasting my HD radio. Monday through Friday, 8 to 11. My dial's locked on that hot talk station. Tim Conway Jr., his show's so great. And OG Ballystead repping 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood. At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner. Yeah, I said it, man.
That was
Macadocious.
Might be the funniest guy in radio, but the wardrobe from Costco has got to go.
What the
Kirkland signature, that's his brand. Jesus Christ, he needs a stylist. Yeah, I said it, man. Too bad it ends at 11. You might hear the reverend. What the hell he say? Yo, it's just Jesse Jackson. If you know what he's saying, call into the show. It's 520-971. Whoa. Understand the language? Call if you do. You might get a prize. Oh, babu. Oh, babu. Oh, babu. It's Tim Conway Jr. His show's so great. And OG Ballystead repping 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood.
Thanks.
At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner, yeah.
I said it, man. Let's go. Macadocious.
That was nice.
At 9 o'clock, they got Gina on the news with Randy on the board. That makes two fellow Jews. Beware the Conway curse, though. It's the truth. If you still don't believe me, here's the proof.
Uh-oh.
Timmy's over a decade in his career, but he also lost two co-hosts in the past 5 years. You want to be his partner? Just get it clear. The other guys getting fired, they just disappeared. Abracadabra, hocus pocus. Y'all heard it first from Adam Makedosian. Host of Pot Talk, that's me, Shazam. When Sophia turning 18, I said it, man.
All right.
That was also informative. You know, I learned some things.
Is that it?
You got another verse?
Going?
You got another verse?
You want me? I can
Let's
keep
go.
Going.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Might be the funniest guy in radio, but the wardrobe from Costco is... Did I already do this one?
Yeah. But you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I hadn't noticed your wardrobe.
Yeah. You know, let's...
You know he's all about Costco, right? In Kirkland.
All right. You know I could fire you, right? All right.
And by the way, should I be nervous since you wish all your co-hosts to the cornfield and I'm just sitting here next to you in the, with a recession?
I know what I mean? Terrible.
Are you going to do something to my career just by your proximity?
Is there somebody in the audience who does not know whom Adam McAdocious is? Raise your hand. All right. Let's talk to this young man here.
Wow, that's a full house in poker parlance.
Let's talk to this man right here. Let's grab him. He's got a blue shirt on it that says knowledge. I imagine he's pretty smart. You an Asian man?
Yeah, I'm Chinese.
Chinese. Welcome to the United States. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You don't know Adam McAdocious at all, right?
No, I don't actually.
I want you to, and I'm going to give you three guesses. Okay? I want you to guess his religion. Number one.
It was included.
Okay. My first guess, Scientologist.
That's wrong. Number two.
Muslim?
No. Number three.
Jewish?
Yeah!
It was
the kosher stoner.
It was in the rap.
The total embarrassment to all Jews, Adam McAdocious.
No! Come on, that's what we have Madoff for. That's what he does. That he serves a purpose.
Nobody would have guessed this guy is Jewish, man. He's unbelievable.
My friend right there works at Costco.
Oh, yeah, really?
Maybe Timmy can get a discount.
Not the typical Jewish young male here in California.
What, you want him to have, like, glasses and, you know, pen in his pocket?
Yeah, maybe a job and not
like
talk like
a nebbish Woody Allen thing?
Talk like, he's from the inner city, maybe.
I keep my menorah lit, though, all year round.
Yeah, you're a big stud. All right, let's hear it for Adam McAdocious, everybody.
He's a major stud. He's like the long-lost Beastie Boy.
Major, major, major stud. All right, we have a young man here who you may hear him on the show every single Monday from 9 to 11, and his name is Dr. Reef. Dr. Reef, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right, we're doing excellent, ma'am. All right, this is Teresa Strasser. This is Dr. Reef. He is on with us, and he has a background. Addiction. You're an addictionologist. Is that right?
Yeah, you like that word. Right?
Is that right? That's the word,
medicine
right?
Specialist?
I'm a sex, drugs, and relationships doctor.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody in here is now turning their ear towards the stage because we could all use a little bump here, huh?
Now you say when you say doctor, do you mean like an MD, a PhD?
I'm an MD. Yeah.
Okay. MD, and you also are a psychiatrist.
Yep.
And you also happen to be involved in addiction medicine, again, sex, drugs, and relationships.
Yeah, if anybody in the audience, needs detox, just hit me up after you lose. Yeah.
Do you have your prescription pad?
I might, yep.
All
right. Just curious.
What is, in your opinion, the single best prescription drug? Whether it's a painkiller, whether it is a mood stabilizer, whether it to get you off cigarettes, what is the one, the king of all pills?
Now, you ask me this every show, right?
Well, thank you very much.
Do you have a different answer every time?
No, it's usually the same answer.
Yeah, it's usually the same.
Same answer is, I can't tell you that.
Right? Yeah, that is the answer. Tim always asks me every show, he's like, okay, listen, if I just wanted to completely zone out and feel awesome, what drug would
I take? No, doctor, you got to combine. This is the real question for a doctor. You know how on some pills it says not to mix with alcohol, but you know that means you should?
Yeah.
You know if you have a Xanax or a half a Xanax, you know you should have a little bit of red wine, not the hard stuff, a little bit. You know that's a good combo, and you know it's not going to hurt me, but they lie on that sticker.
See, now I got the two of you asking
these
questions.
Yes, exactly
right. That's great. That's great.
All right, we're going to take some calls here for people who have perfected their buzz. What is the greatest pill out there? All right? Is it a Xanax? Is it a Vicodin? Is it an ecstasy? What have you discovered? And again, this is the capital of drug abuse in all of the world.
Well, I appreciate that they call you're the capital of drug abuse. He wants to share something personal.
Okay, all right.
Oh, God.
I see. Eventually, it didn't take too long for lunatics to rush the stage.
Now, you know this. You know that.
Looking for the prescription pad.
McAdocious should be doing some security docious.
Yeah, I know. Now, in the 60s, right, in the early 70s, they were using E in therapy offices to try to get people all in the mood to be able to discuss
stuff. Wait a minute, so that initially it was a prescription drug?
No, so E came out like 1912 is when MDMA officially came out, but they didn't know what to do with it, so it got shelved until about the 60s.
Okay.
And in the 60s, some like crazy psychotherapist was like, hey, I got an idea. Let's give people E, and let's find out if, like, they open up and, you know, they can talk about random stuff that I want them to talk about.
Right.
Right? So it comes out, they have these great sessions, and then everybody gets addicted and bummed out. And
there's a spinal trouble.
Yeah,
right?
And that spinal stuff's a myth.
That's a myth, because I've never tried ecstasy. Yeah.
Okay,
you've never tried ecstasy?
No.
Well, her spine would be all messed up if it was...
He said it's a myth.
I'm kidding. It's a myth. I'm kidding.
All right. But there are people who take E one time and they become a vegetable, right?
No.
No. That's wrong?
You don't become a vegetable. Here's the thing. If you're
trying to discourage some of these guys.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, vegetables for
everyone. Please don't worry about these people. They're gambling
addicts. What do they call, like, the instant stoners? They become, like, they take drugs once and they become like a vegetable. Is that doesn't happen?
It's called Randy from the station.
Randy Wang.
Yeah, Randy Wang. That's called Randy Wang syndrome.
Well, doesn't it depend on the substance? Like, for example, crystal meth seems highly addictive.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's some drugs that... They activate the neurotransmitters in your brain so quickly that there's a higher chance, if you're vulnerable to having a drug addiction, that you'll be jacked pretty early on. And there's other drugs that you can take them and take, like pot. You can take it and take it and take it. And, yeah, some people get addicted. The THC content's a lot higher now, so some guys get paranoid. And some of them, nothing. Nothing happens to them, and they just kind of hang out in their living room and eat. You know, so it just depends on the person.
Now, have you yourself tried a Vicodin just when you had a tooth out or something?
Yeah, I had an appendicitis and a ruptured appendix.
Oh, that hurts.
I was in the hospital for 8 days.
Try it. He's got a pocket full of them right here.
Jeez.
How do you know that?
Wait a minute. What is the strongest Vicodin they make?
Well, it's the strongest drug is going to be something you take in the hospital.
What's the biggest Vicodin? I mean, but the pill-wise, what is the biggest Vicodin?
You could get 10 milligrams of hydrocodone mixed with acetaminophen. So... It'd probably like
you would give that to somebody with end-stage lung cancer or something, right?
No, I mean, you'll give that.
That's why I smoke.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's just trying to get the hydrocodone.
Yeah, Tim's whole
with
thing.
With acetaminophen.
What I like about Tim is he's not a short-term thinker, he's a long-term thinker.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's looking at the future.
I screw up my lungs enough, I'll be popping some pills.
I saw on the website, and I'm saving my miles, if I get 1 million Marlboro miles, they give me a lung transplant.
Yeah, wow. I understand. Yeah,
fantastic.
You can get it that or an iron lung.
Yeah, hey, iron lungs are overrated.
All right, folks, the greatest drug, and Dr. Reef will tell you here on why you should or should not do it. He is our expert. But the greatest drug you've ever had, 520-9710. And again, I've been told this by listeners who have emailed us.
Yeah.
When you start talking about drugs, please give out the number very slowly because some of us have damaged our minds.
Okay.
520-9710.
Dude, that just made me think about life and like what it's all about and why we're here.
Dude, that's awesome.
If you love 888-520-9710. Because some people are living in slow motion.
No, can I get back to the doctor's appendicitis?
Yes.
So you're in the hospital. Now you're in the position of being a patient, whereas you're usually a doctor.
Right. I hated it.
You hated it.
It was awful.
Total loss of control, right?
Yeah, it was the worst because there was some janitor that kept, like, fixing the other bed, and the noise sensitivity was so high, and I was on these Vicodins, and I was losing my mind, and, yeah, it was
so fun. You didn't enjoy the sensation of the narcotic?
You know, when you're, it's kind of like there's a barometer between how much pain you're in and how good the narcotic feels.
Right.
When you're in a lot of pain, it doesn't feel good. When you're in a minimal amount of pain, then, you know, it might work
for you. And if it's just recreational...
Yeah, if it's recreational, it's recreational. You know, I don't prescribe, Tim,
thank
recreational
you
use. Thank,
thank you.
But if people tend to do it, you know, what are you going to do?
Now, what if you get drugs? A lot of, from the looks of these people here sitting in front of us, a lot of people have done this. You've gone down to Mexico to get your drugs. Are the Mexican drugs the same as you get in the United States?
Well, think about this, right? The FDA here approves drugs in the way that they're manufactured, right?
Right.
So that's why if you take herbal products and they say they have something in them, you don't necessarily know what's in them, right? Because there's no board that's saying, hey, you need this much amount of this substance
Okay.
Mexico's the same way. You know, it's still kind of the Wild West. I mean, you can go get your drugs in Mexico.
But you're rolling the dice.
Yeah, maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't.
Right.
So
that's interesting. Like with St. John's wort, for example,
yes.
You don't really know what you're getting or how pure it is. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then when a drug gets so popular, like St. John's wort got very popular from mild to moderate depression, then it's kind of like, well, you know what? A lot of people are looking at this drug, so then the company almost has more of a responsibility to manufacture it appropriately.
Now, but if you buy a Vicodin, again, Dr. Reeve is with us, also Teresa Strasser from the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to Vicodin.
If you buy a Vicodin in Mexico,
okay,
and it says, I don't know what it says on it. There's some letters on it, and it says...
M56, no.
Oh, V is on it.
V.
Yeah. But no, it says something on a Vicodin.
I don't know. Eminem has it tattooed on his arm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I got to get one of those. But is that the same Vicodin that is produced here in the United States and they just ship it over there and you buy it over there? Or are the people in Mexico producing those Vicodins?
So you're talking about Mexican Vicodin right now. That's the subject on the
table. Is it the same as American Vicodin?
Now, I can't honestly say I've been staring at the pill from Mexico.
Could you tell the difference if I showed you two?
Probably, yeah. I probably could. One would be in Spanish, one would... No, I'm kidding. But what usually they do is they put the milligrams of the hydrocodone and the milligrams of the acetaminophen on the, on the pill. So it might say 5-325 or 10-320, or it might not say anything. So it just... But I haven't looked at the Mexico Vicodin.
By the way, have you ever found a pill, like in your rug or something that you've dropped, and you fish it out, or in the bottom of a in your pocket or in your handbag, and you don't know what it is? This is either a Sudafed or it's something good.
Right, and you
I don't know.
And you pop it anyway.
And you take it anyway.
The beauty is, now you can go online. You can, by the way, you can download on your iPhone Hippocrates. It's an app, right?
I have it.
You have it, right?
All doctors have it.
It's brilliant. You can type in like the sort of the color and the shape of the pill and whatever it says, and it'll tell you what
is
you have.
Is that right?
It's brilliant.
Wow, I got to do that. Because I got a lot of pills in a case. Over the the last 10 or 15 years, I had a tooth pulled, I had appendicitis, whatever. And I don't know what they are.
Right.
And they go on a website and they'll tell you what they are?
Yeah, you tell yourself, I'm going to remember this is the good one.
Oh,
and then you completely forget.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
It's the worst, though, because I had a patient who did that. Found some random, orange pill, and like three of them, and then just popped one after the other, completely freaked out, started seeing weird colors and abstractions and all sorts. His mom was moving up and down when she wasn't moving, random stuff.
No.
So I had to go through that entire picture book and Hippocrates to figure out what pill this guy took.
What did he take?
We don't know.
It was orange.
He probably got it from Mexico.
That's
I don't know.
The thing. I just know it was orange, and he hallucinated
about
his mother.
But it was some kind of a hallucinogen. We just don't know what it was.
I was with Malibu Dan, who used to be on the show, and we were in Boston. And it was just after 9/11, so he was paranoid to take weed with him on the plane.
Right.
So we get to Boston, and he tries to buy weed, and he can't make any connection. He gets really pissed off. And I'm walking with Doug Steckler and Malibu Dan down the streets of Boston, and we look down, we see a pill on the ground. And Doug goes, hey, look, Malibu, there's a pill. Picks it up and takes it without even looking at it.
That's crazy.
He needed that high. All right, folks, if you're at the Commerce Casino right now, we have an announcement for you. If we can turn the speakers up just a bit here. We have an announcement for everybody at the Commerce Casino. The game has been called off. No, I'm just kidding. All right, it's 200-400 blind. All right, 200-400.
That was like War of the Worlds just then.
Ah, please. These guys, they're all used to that kind of crap. 200-400, all right? 250 ante. 200-400, 50 ante. Good luck, everybody. Hope the best player wins.
Now, what does it mean, these empty tables? Those guys are all out. They're done.
That means that they've been eliminated. There's been probably 200 people eliminated already so far.
My husband's still in it.
And it's only 920.
The numbers are dwindling.
Yes. All right, let's take some calls here. The greatest pill you've ever had. A lot of people want to know about these pills, Because in society, I sort of have a theory that you don't want to go through your entire life being sober all the time.
I agree.
Because reality really sucks. But you don't want to get too stoned or too high or, too addicted to pills or alcohol where you end up in a rehab center because that sucks too. So you got to, it's sort of like, When you go to Magic Mountain, you can ride the merry-go-round all day long, but you can't ride the roller coaster all day long.
Right.
You've got to eventually, it's like having a 2-year-old child. You can play with that child and play with that child, but you have to put that child to bed at some point.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do with your buzz. You can play with it and spirit.
But what about you have to be this
yourself.
High to
yeah,
ride the ride?
But
you're saying is the roller coasters and the teacups are fun for once.
Right.
You got to be moderate.
Exactly. Then you go and you spend some time sitting down. You got to have moderation in your life, and then you can get high. Isn't that right? Isn't that your theory?
Well, Tim, again, to disagree with you. Now, something very interesting in my work in addiction, I kind of feel like we're in an altered society. I mean, think about this. We always talk about the war on drugs, right? I'm going to stamp out the war on drugs. Every president talks about
war on drugs, yeah.
Yeah, all the time. But think about it. And there were the speakeasies in the 20s, drugs. There was the alcohol prohibition. There was in the 60s, it was all the LSD and the pot going. In the 70s, it was the coke. In the 80s, it was the E. Then we had a meth problem.
Go-go 80s.
Yeah, then we had a meth problem. Now, you know, there's always some kind of drug people are doing. It's almost like we're so dissatisfied with our lives that there is a percentage of our population that continues to be altered. And you think about alcohol. Half my friends, you know, hooked up in a bar when they were drunk and are married now. It's like
right. It's
like a business meeting, sporting events. There's alcohol everywhere. Weird. In some ways, an altered society.
Yeah, but if you spend all day working and you go home at night or on the weekends and you can't stand reality because it's so boring, it is so straight, it is so, black and white, you want to get into a gray area and you want to have a buzz, you want to get high and enjoy yourself. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that you've got to watch it, though, because if you end up in rehab or you get a DUI and you get in trouble and you have mandatory DUI or mandatory AA classes, that, I think, is going to piss you off more than anything.
All right, so is it based on life functionality? Like, let's draw the line. Where do we draw the line between recreational fun
and
to
a
where,
high-functioning alcoholic? Right,
you've gone too far. You've gone too far. Where, right. Is it?
But I think everybody's different.
Is it mandatory DUI test? Like, what is it?
I think everybody's different.
And when you get that blow thing on your car?
Right.
You know, when you have to blow into your to start your
it's
car?
Different.
Is that the problem?
It is different. If you have no kids, go for it. If you have kids, you got to pull it back a little. And if you have a problem physically with either cigarettes or booze or pills or whatever, you got to pull it back again. But you always, I think, have to be like surfers sit there in the water for 90% of the time and then they ride the wave for 10% of the time. That's what you have to be with your buzz. You can't ride the wave 90% of the time and sit in the water 10% of the time. It doesn't work.
Well, I don't think there's a good pill or, you know, alcohol to keep you buzzed 90% of the time.
I got to get that Spicolinex.
Without some bad consequence. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and come back with Dr. Reif. Also, Teresa, can you stay for one more segment? Teresa Strasser has agreed to stay with her short skirt and her white underpants. Look at them. Oh, come on. Your husband just flipped me off.
He did not.
Christ.
He's very shy.
All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Your favorite pill, and Dr. Reif will buzz kill you and tell you why it's bad for you.
Come
Dr. Reif is with us, also Teresa Strasser. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at the Commerce Casino on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. We are at the Commerce Casino on our very first break here. So congratulations to all the players who made it to the first break. And we'll be starting momentarily here. We are also joined by Teresa Strasser from The Morning Show, The Adam Carolla Show. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming down. You're always very generous with your time.
Well, you know, all of my fans showed up. And bought me a drink, so that was nice.
That's not true. A lot of people want to take pictures with Teresa Strasser. Look at that.
Well, I've got an inappropriately short skirt.
Yes. And the guy with the longest skirt here, Dr. Reif. Nice to see you.
Hey, yeah, yes, it's good to be here. Thanks for that great comment.
All right. We are at the Commerce Casino. Come on down, even if you can't play in the tournament because it's already started. Come on down, and we'll have a table or two afterwards and play some cards, drink some beer. And Dr. Reif is a addictionologist. And is that right? Addictionologist.
Addictionologist,
look at
that.
I love that term.
And you know what? He's not hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
Nice looking man.
Good looking guy.
Young, nice looking man.
Thank you.
Are you a single man?
I am single.
You want to tell Teresa what your house looks like, especially the bedroom?
Oh, jeez. I'm Indian. And I used to act in some...
But an Indian doctor? That's like a Jewish doctor.
Crazy,
get out
right?
of here.
Yeah, I had no choice when I was growing up. It's like, you know, Indian doctor or bust. And I decided, I played a prince in an Indian movie once, and I decided to make my bedroom an Indian palace. So there's
kinda
a big...
Kind of like a Bollywood?
How big is the bed?
Am I really going to say this?
Yeah, feet, like measurement-wise.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. You
Tim
know,
knows
I just,
too much.
I just wanted a large bed.
I haven't been in his bed, but I've heard from I believe. Yeah. I want to tell you what I heard.
Gina Grad's in trouble. Where is Gina Grad right now?
Gina Grad told me you have the biggest bed in Los Angeles.
So, like a California king?
No, it's bigger.
It's like three times that.
Like a Calcutta king?
A Calcutta. It's not technically a bed. It's a place you lay and relax, and there's pillows, and yeah.
It must be beautiful. You get a lot of tail there.
It's nice.
You do, right?
It's a good place to hang out.
All right, Dia, the best pill in your experience. Again, we have more people who love pills and beer and weed and all kinds of drugs on this station than anybody. 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Now, what about guys that are still doing it the old-fashioned way with the inhaling of, like, airplane glue and fumes? That's a bad vibe, right?
The inhalants, the huffers, yeah, that's bad news because our body's not supposed to process all of the chemicals inside the solvents and all the stuff that you're inhaling. And some people will huff. They'll, like, wet a rag with some kind of substance and just put it in. And there's guys that have literally put garbage bags over their heads, tied up the garbage bags, just had a rag inside that garbage bag, and they died.
Is that right?
It's hardcore. Yeah, that's really bad news.
Suffocating yourself, right?
Yeah, literally. And
is that where the term comes from, half in the bag?
Half in the bag.
I think that's five-sixths in the bag at least.
Yeah, that's a lot in the bag. But the problem is that you do it at such a young age. And
doing vaudeville act up here.
I know, that's nice.
I don't know. It's really degenerating.
All right.
It's devolving, it's dissolving, crumbling.
For it to devolve, it had to have been evolved at one point. Right. Yeah.
Now, I need Teresa's help here. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Is that what it's called?
Is that right?
Yeah.
What is the rush there? Because I found enough stimulation without the belt around my neck.
Yeah, it seems like teenagers want to experiment.
Oh, teenagers. So, Tim, you're not talking from experience or anything
else? I've never
else.
Done that before, but I'd like some information on it.
All right, so you decrease the oxygen, right? Decreasing glucose, decreasing oxygen to your brain.
But it could kill you.
You can get to the point where you... Well, see, the cool thing about our body is that if there's not enough oxygen going to our brain, it shuts off. That's why we pass out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like a self-protective mechanism. So you basically are testing the body's self-protective mechanism when you're decreasing oxygen and glucose to your brain. But before that happens, you get really lightheaded. And it's kind of a rush.
So that's the high.
Yeah, and then add to it that whole control, dominant, submissive aspect of it, which a lot of couples like. So you add that to the mix, and that's where people get off on it.
And you don't recommend this?
No, I'm all for people, exploring in bed and doing what they got to do kind of thing. But I think if it's going to, potentially kill someone.
Right, it seems like the trouble is mostly when guys are doing it by themselves and they end up, like, using, a belt and hanging themselves.
Well, I think hanging really is not a good thing, yeah.
Well, like, for instance, LAPD, and I believe the Sheriff's Department is the same way, before they give you a taser gun, I believe a lot of officers are tasered so they know how that feels when they shoot a perp, right?
Yeah.
Now, because you are a doctor and you don't recommend autoerotic asphyxiation, have you been tempted to try it yourself?
Listen, as a doctor going through med school, we learn about all this crazy stuff. And yes, we are very, very tempted to try all the things that we learn about.
Right.
But no, I don't try.
What was it like the first time you had to operate on a cadaver in medical school or cut one open?
Well, the first time I had a cadaver, I mean, I'm not grossed out by almost anything.
Use that term.
Can't use that term?
Okay.
No, an erection, I think we can
Sorry.
Use.
The cadaver died happy.
Was happy. Yeah, it was happy.
Yeah. Or had an erection. Actually, we can use that.
The cadaver was excited.
Right.
And because of that, it really freaked out everybody there.
Talk about a death fetish.
And I was and I was working around it. So it was.
But you know what? Yeah. That has got to be the biggest stud in Forest Lawn, right?
Right. Like, I'm dead and I'm still ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, when he's buried, it's an open casket, and wow. That guy still is a major stud.
He's still got it.
He's dead, but he's got himself a Woody.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah, what a stud.
I had no idea that rigor mortis could affect your sexual organs.
It could affect anything.
All right, let's talk to Joe on line 7 in Whittier. Joe, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Good, and you?
All right, what's the best drug? You thought you really aced it.
Well, I'm a recovering addict from heroin, but for pills, I would say oxycodone or oxycontin.
Oxycontin.
I've never tried that.
I've never tried that either. All right, yeah, Duffy, thanks for calling. What is the high with Oxycontin?
Well, the thing about Oxycontin is it's a long-acting opiate drug, which when some people abuse it, and again, Tim, I do not suggest doing this, but when some people
do... You're always a buzzkill.
I'm sorry. But when some people do this...
Dr. Buzzkill.
They will grind it up and potentially snort it, and I see that happening with addicts. So they get a 12-hour pill that they're getting a rush on instantly. So it's very abusable. It can cause all sorts of problems, but it's a long-acting drug, and it really works.
How about the kids, and not just kids, but how about the people who take Ritalin, smash it up, and then either digest it or smoke it? I don't know what you do with it. But is that becoming a problem as well?
Oh, it's a huge problem. I mean, there's an entire field of science called, you know, basically it's college steroids. All these kids are like, hey, I got to outdo the kid next to me, so I'm going to be popping Adderalls all night.
Yeah, I mean, the way we used to do Jolt.
Right, like Jolt Cola is now like long-acting Adderall or short-acting Adderall. So what these kids are doing is they're getting people that have ADHD or they're faking ADHD symptoms.
And what is ADHD?
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Some of your staff. Yeah, don't worry about it. You're all right.
What was he talking about?
Yeah, what?
I see something shiny.
What?
I like the rug.
Hold on. I didn't pay attention to that. What?
What's his name?
Who is that again?
I'm bored. I need more stimulation.
Here, take this.
Thank you.
Calm down, babe.
I'm all better.
That's funny. So they fake these symptoms. They get the pills, and then they pop the pills or sell them.
It's over.
And they keep doing it. The problem is they don't realize that, you know, when you do too much Adderall, you can be in trouble. I mean, I've had some kids that got really paranoid. They started hallucinating. They had withdrawal symptoms. It's a stimulant, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah. I have a question for you, and I think this might be valuable to our listeners. Some people, like myself, are moderate, responsible pill users. If I feel like I need a Klonopin, I might take one once a week. I never get addicted to substances. I just don't have that chemistry. However, sometimes I have to go to the doctor, and I feel like the doctor's looking at me like, is she doctor shopping? Is she some kind of addict that wants pills? And I have to soothe them. I have to convince them that I'm just a healthy, normal girl that could use a pill or two.
But I think you, are in trying to take the stink off of your act,
yeah,
I think
I try too hard.
Then you think that they think you're doctor shopping.
What do I say to my doctor?
It's a great question. What do you say to your doctor where you convince him you're not doctor shopping, but you just need a couple of Vicodin to get through the weekend?
Vicodin's going to be tough, but I mean a Xanax, say, or a Valium.
What do you say to your doctor when you're going to a rave on Saturday night? You just want a couple of pills.
I need to be rolling. No, if I want a Valium or a Xanax, what do I say to you?
To me?
That would make you feel comfortable prescribing it.
I wouldn't give you a Xanax.
Would you give me a Valium?
I mean, it's nothing personal.
Terrible doctor.
What about a Valium?
What am I going to do? Come on.
Vitamin V. Nothing?
I would try other stuff before I would try Xanax.
Right.
Just because it's short acting, I've seen enough people.
She'd press on and she'd go down one more block on Ventura Boulevard to another doc in the box and get something.
You wouldn't believe the doc I have.
No.
That guy.
There's so many Dr. Feelgoods out there.
He's a little bit of a doctor. But when I go there, I'm like, okay, look sane. And don't seem, you know, addict. Because I'm really not. But somehow I get self-conscious.
Right.
I was thinking not addicty.
Oh, sorry.
But I never know what the magic buzzwords are to say. So I usually just say, you know, I have a weird schedule. I get up really early. Sometimes I have trouble sleeping. A Klonopin is useful. I'm not addictive. I just take one a week or so.
So here's the thing. If you came to me and you said that, I'd be like, okay, so what are your target symptoms? You're having trouble sleeping.
Right.
So I'm going to help you to find a way to get you to sleep better. If I could do it without pills, I'd do that. If I needed to absolutely give you a pill, I'd try to give you something that's non-addictive that's a pill. And, you know, Klonopin is, because it's an addictive med, even though you don't have an addictive brain, supposedly that would be lower on my list. So I'd have to work my way to a Klonopin. So a good doctor will not give you Klonopin right away
to help you sleep.
Ambien's kind of middle of the road. I've had patients on Ambien that sleepwalk all over the place.
If you tried to give me a melatonin, I would punch you right in your face.
Okay, maybe not melatonin, but I'd work my way from something else.
That's why you got to go to a doc in the box and not see this clown. All right, Dr. Reif is with us. He is a legitimate doctor and you can't F this guy over by walking in and saying, hey, I'm not addicted to Vicodin, but how about 100 for the road? You're not going to do that, right?
Yeah, thanks for giving me that credit. I appreciate it.
All right, Dr. Reif is with us almost every Monday, and a lot of people are learning a lot about addictionologist from a very talented psychiatrist here. And you're going to be hearing a lot about him. And I have a feeling that eventually, when Dr. Gupta, is that his name?
Sanjay Gupta.
I think when he becomes the Surgeon General, I think you're going to slide into his spot.
Yeah, there's going to be an open spot
there's
there.
There's going to be an open spot.
All right, Teresa Strasser's with us. Dr. Reif, we're live at the Commerce Casino. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk, and we are joined by Teresa Strasser here. Look at that, from the morning show, the Adam Carolla show.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular show, too, and it is on every single morning from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., and I was listening to it this morning, that Lisa
Lampanelli.
Can never get her name
right.
She
really makes me laugh, maybe
She's
more
hysterical.
Than anyone we have on.
And when she does roasts, there is nobody better than Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, she's the queen of mean. That's her nickname.
Nobody.
She's
and she
great.
Seems so innocent, too. And then she gets up there and rips everybody a new a-hole.
Yeah, she gets away with it because she's so sweet.
Yeah, I love that chick. And not even gay. Look at that. She's big with the gays, though.
Yes, she is a gay icon, which I think is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
And she had a theory this morning. I was listening to it on the radio. And she said she's big with the gays because she has a theory that gays hate themselves. And she reinforces that hatred.
She insults them, and she thus she underlines how they're already feeling about themselves.
Wow.
Fantastic.
All right.
I don't know if I agreed with her theory.
I don't know if I do either, but here to break it down is Dr. Reif, everybody.
Hey, what's
your
going
experience
on?
With the homosexual crowd? Do they hate themselves, and they like to have that reinforced?
You know, I think we're all people trying to make sense of this crazy world we live in.
What are you
Can
right?
you embroider that on a pillow?
No, I'm starting to...
Dr. Hallmark.
I'm looking for the new Hallmark. Beatles?
Yeah, come on.
Thanks, Dr. Aphorism.
All right. Your favorite pill, everybody. Everybody in this audience enjoys getting high. You enjoy getting drunk. You enjoy losing the edge. Please don't go too far. Please. Don't drink and drive. Don't get drunk and knock your kids out, but do enjoy yourself once in a while.
Tim, I'm proud of you. That was a great public service announcement.
And, you know, even when you're talking about just alcohol, amongst different varieties of alcohol alone, I think there are different buzzes. For example, if you want to wake up before you go out, a little bit of tequila, one shot. Two shots makes you tired. One shot wakes you up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you ever done this? Have you ever drank yourself drunk, sobered up, and then drank yourself drunk again without sleeping?
I have not done that.
It's a real trip.
Wow.
Because usually when you drink, you fall asleep.
There's almost like a refractory sobriety period.
Right, exactly.
And then you get drunk again.
You drink yourself drunk again.
You really got a problem, though, when you start getting sick. You vomit everything that you drank, and then you start up again.
Right.
And you continue that through the night.
That's got to be one of those 10 signs that you've got to get to a meeting.
All right, Dr. Buzzkill's with
us. Or leave your fraternity.
This is a sign of a guy who has a problem. And I've witnessed this. I'm not going to say who it is. But I saw a guy throw up because he had too many Vicodins and too many alcohol shots, right? And they picked the Vicodin out of his throw-up.
No, he did not.
Hold on. It was partially digested Vicodin in his vomit.
I saw it. I happened to see it. And here to tell you exactly how many pills it was is Randy Wang. How many pills was it?
It was about half a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Was that you?
I thought there were candy.
You're not serious.
I was going through a real rough time about a year ago, and, you know.
I hope you guys are joking.
No,
I'm sort of
just
concerned.
Just kidding.
Did they come out of a Pez dispenser? Is that where you hit them?
All right, let's take some phone calls here. How about line 5 is Sal in Altadena. Sal, you there?
Timmy, Conway, Evan,
hey,
Junior,
what's up,
man.
Dude?
Look at you, man.
Hey, nice to hear your voice, man. All right, so what's the perfect buzz? What do you got?
Well, you know what? I have an ancient, it's not really a pill. It's more natural. What you do is you take, this is an old Mexican kind of buzz, you know, remedy thing.
All right.
What you do is you take a raw serrano pepper, and you bite it, you got to chew it, and then you down it with a shot of tequila. Now, the tequila is the key thing because it has to be 100% agave. And
all
you
right.
just
all
down right. it, and it, you know, works out pretty good, man.
Now,
it
Dr. Reef, I know a pepper,
you,
something
buddy.
Spicy, chili, or wasabi can give you an endorphin rush.
Well, I'm curious to know what he means by a buzz on that. Like, yeah, if you've got some kind of substance that's going to excite your system, and then you down it with alcohol, which is a central nervous system depressant, perhaps it's the up-down effect that's causing the buzz. I don't know
so
that.
So what does the pepper do to your system?
Yeah, what's the spice do for you?
I think it depends, you know, if it can change the way that your blood goes to your GI tract, right? That's the first thing, is when you digest, you get perfusion in your GI tract. You get more blood going there. That's why some people get lightheaded when they're eating.
Right.
If it's really spicy food and it's causing more of a reaction where you get sweaty and you get mildly stimulated, you know, that can have an effect on you. It could feel like a buzz. So when you combine that with alcohol and that adding to the buzz, perhaps synergistically they're working.
But yeah. when I eat, like, Tabasco sauce, it kills my mouth. I mean, I got to constantly drink water because it is such a burning sensation. Doesn't that burning sensation continue through the entire digestive system?
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's some people that have, it's called EGD, esophagogastric duodenoscopy. They get that because they're worried about getting some kind of ulceration due to spicy food and all that kind of stuff. And
I thought that's if you didn't graduate high school and you just took the test.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one or the other. Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break. Dr. Reef is with us. Always nice to see you, young man. And he is drinking soda water, I believe.
Soda water.
Soda water. And Teresa Strasser is drinking everything but soda water.
I switched to water. I got to get up at 4:30.
Yes. All right, Josh Rubenstein is going to join us here when we come back. And you are a pilot, is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you about that plane crash in New York, because I imagine you have some thoughts on it.
I do.
You do. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We are live at the Commerce Casino on 97.1 FM Talk.
Ross, Danny, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Get complete shows now at 97.1 FMTalk.com.